Lord, we pray that you might be present to us, that you might speak, that we might listen and follow you in Jesus' name. Amen. It's often said that there's a fine line between spirituality and insanity. This is how you tell the difference. When a person talks to God, that's called spirituality. But when God speaks to a person, well, many would see that as insanity. But Epiphany is that season which reminds us that God's self-disclosure is actually the basis of all Christian theology and spirituality. God is there. God not only wants to hear from us, but that God wants to talk to us also. Of course, this raises another conundrum, that if God talks, then what might God want to say? Our readings today give us a few pointers. Isaiah, Simon, and Paul all have an encounter with God. Isaiah was a counselor, a chief of staff to the king, if you will, a person who was familiar with power and privilege. Simon was a businessman who worked on the tools with his big fishing business. Paul was a Pharisee, a religious group that considered purity was the only gateway to knowing God's love. Although each of them is unique, their encounter opens up for us a doorway to enter more deeply into God's presence. For like us, neither Isaiah, Simon, nor Paul began their work being particularly close to God. What made all the difference was that God drew near to them. None of them considered themselves fit or ready. But yet God is the one who makes them whole. Most importantly, God is the one who works through them, through their talents and their skills, so that they might do the only thing that they could do, to help others, to help us, to see God's kingdom and to learn how to thrive. When we think of spirituality today, three pathways often emerge. Pathways which give us a pattern of understanding how God and humanity can engage with each other. These patterns have shifted quite markedly over the past century, and we might find ourselves using one or more of these patterns at different times in our life. Religion is the pathway of belonging. It's when we are the subject who encounters an object, namely God, by mastering all kinds of things. We find a whole new world opens up for us when we go about doing things like learning how to read scripture, learning how to pray, learning how to go to church. All these things help us to come to understand who God is. Another pathway is the pathway of searching, the pathway of spirituality. This time we are the subject who actively looks for a personal encounter with God. From this perspective, we experience spirituality as a journey, which typically has a beginning and an end. This pattern depends entirely upon whether we are open or closed to what we find. Another pathway is the pathway of discovery, or revelation. With revelation, things turn in a very different direction because we discover that we are not the subject who strives to search for God. Rather, we are the object who is found. That we are welcomed into God's presence, that we are able to share in God's abundant life, not for our own benefit, but so that the whole world might thrive as God goes to work in us and through us, doing only that which God can do with us. What we see in Isaiah, Simon, and Paul is a picture of God drawing near to each of them. I wonder, what was Isaiah doing when he saw God seated on the throne in the heavenly temple? Maybe he was following the pathway of spirituality, searching for something more as he prayed. What was Paul doing in his life? Maybe he was following the pathway of religion, confident in his own strength when he encountered Jesus quite unexpectedly on that road to Damascus. And as for Simon, well, he was perhaps doing what we all do. He was fishing. He was just going about his daily life. Or more to the point, perhaps, he was actually looking forward to getting home, putting his feet up, and having lunch. When all of a sudden, this Jesus comes near, climbs into his boat, and does something quite unexpected without any invitation at all. Each of them, in their own way, was distant from God. But it is God who closes the gap with them all. Whether they were doing the right thing, the wrong thing, or just their own thing, the one who came looking for them was not put off by what God found. He was not impressed by a chief of staff, nor put off by a businessman, nor discouraged by someone who was filled with violence. God closed the gap with each of them. So what happened when God came near? When God goes searching for people, it's easier to assume that God is simply in the business of pointing out how wrong people are, how useful, how useless or horrible they might be, as though God is simply interested in smiting people. But this is not the pattern we see. Isaiah saw God's majesty, a throne room filled with magnificent robes and heavenly assistants. This is not an image of judgment, but of power. When God wanted to get through to a king's advisor, this might be important. It's as if to say, well, look, Isaiah thinks of himself as pretty important, but let me show him who's really important. Think about Simon for a moment. Here he was running a very successful business. But like any business person, he had a bad run. You win some days, you lose some others. That's what fishing is all about. So when Jesus says to him, pull out into the deep and give it another go, Jesus was not harping on about how rubbish a job Simon was at fishing. In fact, it's entirely the opposite. When things were most pointless, after all, any fisherman worth his salt knows that you don't go fishing in the middle of the day. Simon listens to Jesus and catches the biggest haul of his life, a haul that is so big the nets are straining and the boat is struggling to stay afloat. It's as if to say, well, Simon thinks of himself as pretty successful, But I'm going to show him what true success really looks like. And then there was Paul. Paul was devoted to the scriptures. He was flawless in his obedience, and he was zealous in rooting out error. But Jesus doesn't tell Paul how wrong or stupid or how horrible he is. The Jesus that Paul thought to be crucified and buried stood before him, risen and alive, on the road to Damascus. It's as if to say, this Paul thinks of himself as so clever that he's got everything sorted out. I'm going to show him something that will turn his whole world upside down. Isaiah, Simon, and Paul, each of them in their own way, were spiritually isolated from God. They were too wrapped up in their own lives to be a part of God's work in the world, because they were too focused on things perhaps like power and money and being right. But God draws near to each of them, not to condemn them, but to open up a transformative relationship that would change everything. So when God meets them, how do each of these people respond? Well, it's in a very similar way, isn't it? Each of them become terribly aware of how inadequate they are. They all realize that they just don't belong or deserve to be in the presence of this wonder. But here's the really important thing. It wasn't their past that had the last word. God does not stop at their uncleanliness or their sinfulness or their destructiveness and stop. What matters to God is their future. God has a calling for each of them, a calling that would direct and encourage and empower and enable each of them to take a new pathway in life, no matter how old or able or how wealthy or how male they each were. So when Isaiah can only see his own guilt, God sends a seraph with a hot coal to blot out his sin. This wasn't just to remove his own guilt. It was so that this royal advisor might then speak to a nation that was failing terribly in its calling to be God's people. God spoke through Isaiah in order to encourage the people to live with justice and fairness so that all might enjoy God's abundant life. Take Simon, who could only see the lack of his own piety. But Jesus refuses to leave him alone. Instead, Jesus stills his fears and gives him a new vocation. Not as a businessman who killed fish for money, but as a team leader who would bring people to new life by helping them to see and hear and experience God's kingdom here and now. And while Paul was so filled with shame and self-loathing because he had hurt and injured so many, God shows this person grace, forgiveness, and restoration. Paul's encounter with love is so profound that he soon makes a life among people that he would have otherwise ignored or despised. What's striking with Isaiah, Simon, and Paul is not how unworthy they were. It's that each of them received a call to be a prophet, an apostle, a missionary. And in each case, God was the one who drew near to them. God was the one who made them whole. God was the one who called them to do something to help others experience abundant life. God used their gifts and talents not simply to clean up the mess of this world, but to help us all enjoy a life characterized by peace and joy here and now. Of course, it's easy for us to sit here and think, well, that was way back then. This is now. They were great big prophets and apostles and missionaries, and all I do is make the tea. God shows God's self to anyone who is prepared to look. And God speaks to those who are prepared to listen. God walks with those who are prepared to go somewhere new. God works through those who are prepared to make their gifts available to God. Brianna was a member of our congregation for a few years. Her sickness and her illness robbed her of her capacity to move, to speak, to see. It would take her carers over 3 hours to get her ready to come to church on a Sunday morning. But she would not miss it for the world. Because here, she found freedom. The most important thing for her was someone who shared a cup of tea with her. When we do something ordinary, even when we are tired and grumpy and cranky and feel unable to do anything, when we are prepared to row out just a little bit further, even if we are certain that we won't catch a thing, that is where we discover God's abundance. Because the catch is not meant for us. The catch is for those who need it most. So how does God draw near to you? How has God made you whole? Who is around you that God wants you to help? For whatever pathway you're upon, God can and will speak to and through you so that everyone can have a chance to thrive. Amen.